Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. I want to wish you all a very special Mother's Day. To the mothers, you know, I feel quite different this Mother's Day. Perhaps because I'm a father now. And my dear Deanne is a new mother. I guess I'm a bit biased. It's only been a couple of weeks, but I have seen and witnessed what mothers go through, and my admiration for motherhood has increased tremendously. Because of the love I've witnessed firsthand that a mother has for her child. And at the foundation of motherhood really is sacrificial love. You know, I also feel empathetic, on the other hand, for not everyone has had a good mother in their life. I was talking to someone recently who told me that they had a horrible mother. And it took me back, you know, we're doing the book of Isaiah, the prophet. And in one of the chapters in Isaiah, it talks about a God, God the Father, who unlike, you know, it talks about a mother, a nursing mother, who feeds the child, who knows that a child loves their, who knows that a mother loves their child so dearly. But it also talks about the capability of a mother to forget their child. And then it references God on the other hand and said, God will never forget his children. So for those celebrating with good mothers, God is good. For those who didn't have a good experience, we do have a God that cares so deeply about all his children to the end that he sent his only son, which is the true definition of sacrificial love. This same love is displayed for us in the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers, in the 5th to 9th verse. In this portion of scripture, we read the narrative of Israelites in the wilderness who, after sinning a lot and complaining about their situation, they were attacked by snakes and scorpions. Now they were in a valley trekking through the wilderness when these serpents and scorpions attacked them. And many of these people died. In this really hard situation, they looked to Moses and said, Moses, please beseech God on our behalf for these snakes to stop biting us, for them to stop attacking us. And Moses comes to God and tells him, God, these children are sorry. Please take these serpents away. And then God told Moses, Moses, make a sculpture of a snake, a bronze snake from the metal bronze. Put it on a pole and go up and stand on a hill. And every man and woman in this valley who looks upon this bronze snake shall be healed. And so Moses does as the Lord had instructed. And every man and woman that looked up to Moses was healed. The Bible says they were healed. The scriptures say they were healed. Now, the scriptures do not say, on the other hand, that the serpents and the scorpions magically disappeared. No, the snakes and the serpents and the scorpions were still there, but everyone who was bitten as they trekked through and looked up to the cross, I mean the bronze snake, was healed. Saint John in his gospel in the 3rd chapter picks up on this same story. Now we all know what John chapter 3 verse 16 says, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to the end that all that believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But do we know what John chapter 3 verse 14 and 15 say? John chapter 3 verse 14 says, just like Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have everlasting life. So it picks up on that same story, that same narrative of everyone looking up to this snake and finding healing, and compares it to Jesus Christ upon the cross, that all of us now who look up to him may be healed. Again, just like the snakes, our despairs, our sufferings, our pain, our conflict do not magically disappear. We continue to fight on through this life, but we have a God, through his redeeming power, that grants us eternal life through that same sacrificial love that he has so abundantly given. Now I want to pick up on this same theme of love, grounded in our faith, to talk about my own experience here at Christ Anglican Church. What has been going on and where I'll be come the fall. My hope is that the same love displayed for us in the sacrificing love of Christ will be the same love that characterizes this church and congregation moving forward. Truly, that's my sincere hope. So bear with me, allow me to speak about myself for a bit. In 2016, when I first came to Christ Church, after my first year of college, I did not have the goal in mind that one day I'd be standing here as an ordained clergyman. And I had left my home and life in Rwanda with a special calling. I knew God was calling me to something near or around the church, but I didn't quite know where he would lead me. At college, I met a man who would later become my good friend, Postulant Richards. Austin Richards is right there. You can all look at him. Hi, Austin. We grew to be friends. We spent quite a lot of time together, hanging out, talking theological perspectives, and skipping a few classes to play video games in my college dorm room. In one of our talks, I shared that I was an Anglican. At that time, Austin was curious about Anglicanism and had read a few Anglican clergymen like N.T. Wright and Rowan Williams. I shared my experience with him as a lifelong Anglican whose father was a bishop in one of the dioceses in Rwanda and what that experience had been for me. It wasn't long after that he Googled and found Christ Church and invited me to come along. That's how I ended up here. As in college, I met a man called Austin, did a Google search and found Christ Church, and that was the beginning of this journey. Shortly after that, Canon Dart asked me and Austin to tag along to attend the summer intensive at St. Joseph of Arimathea in Berkeley, California, to see what seminary within this province of Christ the King looked like. I had no intentions, again, of being in active ministry then, but it was a good chance to get to know more about the church and the diocese and the province. That journey was a good one. I learned quite a lot and got to know Canon Dart better. I distinctly remember one afternoon in Berkeley. We walked up to Cal Berkeley, just a few blocks away from the seminary, and we found people playing soccer. And we joined it, you know? Canon Dart in his collar and clean shoes. Austin Richards in his new shirt. And so we join in and play soccer. It's safe to say that Canon Dart is a better priest than a soccer player. I kid. We had a good time together. We got to know each other, and Canon Dart has been a good friend and mentor since then. After the summer session at St. Joseph of Arimathea, I truly began to consider a calling to active ministry within this church and within this parish and diocese. With Canon Dart's guidance and support, I wrote a letter to the bishop petitioning for me to be made a postulant for holy orders, which is the first step that you begin on your way to being ordained a deacon and, Lord willing, a priest. Canon Dart has helped me discern my calling. My petition was approved in 2017, and since then, Canon Dart has, you know, advocated for me along the way and set me up to succeed in life and in this calling. I know this to be true, and I'm very grateful for him and for Chrissy for their guidance and support. As a postulant from the year 2017 through 2022, when I was ordained a deacon, I continued on in my own studies and graduated from college and later on seminary. Throughout this time, again, I talked regularly with Canon Dart about my future and how the church could help. And it was through these talks over time and the masses of God that the curacy program here at Christ Anglican Church came to be. Now, the curacy program was defined by the vestry as a one-year program to help launch men into ministry. I joined Christ Church in 2016, and so having a program where I would learn and grow in an environment where I know most of the people was a blessing. Who wouldn't want a job that's in a loving place with low pressure, with great accessibility, and lots of potential for growth? And that would give the necessary tools that I need in order to succeed in my own ministry. Who wouldn't? I truly consider myself blessed that I've gotten to serve here, first as a postulant, then as a deacon. I'm grateful as well to be the first man to serve in this capacity as a curate. And I have learned a lot and gotten to serve, which is a pleasure. The psalmist sings, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms." I am joyful and ever thankful for Christ Anglican Church and for this opportunity. I know that this curacy program has definitely set me up to succeed. As I said, I left my own country almost 9 years ago without an idea where I would end up. Yet here I am with the immense pleasure of serving God in this beautiful parish. The psalmist says again, "You have done so much for me, O Lord. No wonder I am glad. I sing for joy." In many ways, I feel this way, and that same God will be with me as I prepare to launch into my own ministry. I gotta say, despite all the blessings of this life, my help is in the Lord, not in the works of man. I got here by the grace of God, and he has sustained me. Indeed, he has used wonderful men and women to bless me along the way, but it's always been God, and it will always be God. My faith is firmly fixed on him to continue giving me the strength to keep pressing on, the wisdom to guide my family, and joy along the way. I'm fine, truly, I'm fine. And I hope it's the same for you. When we come into this journey of faith, it's not by the works of man. It's not my spouse. It's not my mother. God uses these people, but ultimately, the Christian is to be faithful to God and for all he has done. And that's the same God that I continue to trust in as I launch into my own ministry. Truthfully, if I began to tell you how much my family has seen, what we've been through and how far we've come, most of you wouldn't believe me. We have a heavy past. We have a weighty past. But like Isaiah the prophet writes often in his book, the same God that created the universe is the same God that cares for his people. So why would I be afraid to keep pressing on, to keep moving on? I shouldn't. So what does moving forward for me look like? Come August, I will not be here anymore. I'm going to a new parish, and we'll announce this as the time comes. The one-year curacy program has helped me because it has put me in a place of service. Samuel the prophet says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you, what great things he has done for me." I'm raring to go, and I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to invite you all to do something. Will you please keep loving the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength? Will you above all things seek to honor him through this parish? This church is a blessing from God. May the Lord bless all who have prayed for this parish. Please keep praying. Pray for the parish. Pray for men like myself. Please keep supporting this beautiful parish. Like St. John writes, may we keep our eyes fixed solely on the cross of Jesus Christ, for our wounds, our pains, and tears will be wiped away, because he indeed endured it all at the cross. Finally, as we anticipate the continuation of this curacy program, I want to beseech you all to pray for the Hera family as they plan to move back here for Drew to be the new curate. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't matter what distinction there is between our jurisdictions. Drew is a wonderful man of God who happens to have a wonderful beard too. He has a beautiful family, and I know they will be a huge blessing to this parish. Please pray for them. Please support them. Please welcome them warmly with the love, the same love that you have given me, my dear wife Deanne, and my baby Shima. I know you will grow to love them dearly. That's my hope, just like you have me. Thank you very much. May the Lord bless us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.